Elder Henry B. Eyring was called to the Council of the Twelve in April of 1995, having previously served as a member of the First Quorum of 70. He has served as Commissioner of Church Education since September of 1992. However, that's his second time as Commissioner. He also served from 1980 to 1986. In between those times, he was first counselor in the presiding bishopric from April of 85 to September of 1992. He was president of Ricks College from 1971 to 1977. He oversaw the development of new technical and vocational programs and the construction of much-needed additional buildings. These included the physical plant, John L. Clark, Life Science, Auxiliary Services, David O. McKay Library, and additions or renovations to the heating plant, Manwaring Center, the administration building. He also opened the college to those left homeless by the Teton Dam flood in 1976. Elder Eyring was on the faculty at the Graduate School of Business at Stanford University from 1962 to 1971. He was a Sloan Visiting Faculty Fellow at Massachusetts Institute of Technology in 1963-4. Son of a world-renowned chemist who has the same name, he holds a B.S. degree in physics from the University of Utah and Master and Doctorate of Business Administration degrees from Harvard University. A native of Princeton, New Jersey, he has served the church as regional representative, member of the General Sunday School Board, and as a bishop. Elder Eyring is married to the former Kathleen Johnson, and we're most honored that she could be with us today. They are the parents of four sons and two daughters. Elder Henry B. Eyring.
I bring you all the greetings of President Gordon B. Hinckley, who, as the prophet and president of the church, is also the chairman of the Board of Trustees. He would be here if he could, but he can't. He's elsewhere. With President Hinckley, you don't even know where elsewhere is. Last weekend, I believe, you check your newspaper to be sure I have my facts straight, I think he was in Nauvoo, Winter Quarters, and Elko, Nevada in the same weekend, doing major things at each place, and who knows where he is now. But I know he would like to be here, and he would want me to extend his greetings. I know if he were here, he would likely mention what he did in a meeting. Can you imagine when he was reporting, as we all do in meetings from time to time, what we've been doing? With that sort of a schedule, he took most of the time for his report to describe having heard the performance of Emmanuel and praised all of you and Ricks College for honoring the Savior so beautifully. And he went on, and he would, and he'd do it better. But I wanted you to know that he knows something of who you are and what you do, and he cares very much for you. Now, I'm grateful that he called me to be part of this graduation celebration today. We are here to mark changes in our lives. For you who are graduates, your thoughts are likely focused on packing the car, places you will be going and think, well, if it is not packed, focusing on places you will be going and things you will be doing. It is a time of change for President and Sister Benyon as well. But perhaps more than those of you who are very young, they are reflecting with care and with poignant feelings on the changes which have come into their lives while they have been at Ricks College. All of us, and I include myself, would be wise to reflect on our experiences at Ricks College. If we do it well, we could shape the changes which will come into our lives for a blessing on us and all around us. Some of that change will come into our lives and is outside our control. But from careful reflection about our experiences, we can make our growth in the days and months ahead even more rapid than while we were at Ricks College. Each of us has had unique experiences, but some things we have shared. Now, to do this exercise, I know some of you have already turned off your minds. I know how this works. You're waiting for me to get done. But I need your help. You have to pay attention. And this is an exercise now we're going to do together. Everyone in the room, but primarily the graduates, if you would. Now, the ones who will do this best are not the ones who've been talked about, probably. Those are the ones who've done so very, very well. I want someone who is amazed that you're here at graduation. And I mean that very seriously, not to be humorous. At least that sometime when you came, you said, I think this is beyond me. If not the whole program, some class, some moment. And I want you to think about that. And each of us, this is only going to work now unless you test what I'm going to try to teach you against your own experience. It's not hard for me, by the way, to find a time when I desperately needed to find out how to learn. I was a physics undergraduate major. Do you understand that? Physics and mathematics at the University of Utah, in a physics department that at that time took pride in not having let anyone through their PhD exams for several years, as if that was the mark of success. That was where I was. So this is easier for me, but you may be able to do it. Think of those times when, at that moment of struggle, you then began to learn most rapidly during the time you were here. It may have come in one class, or it may have been during a certain period of time across everything you were studying, but for each of us, there was at least one time when we seemed suddenly to be learning more rapidly. Now, there will be differences, but there will be three things that happen to all of us at that moment of rapid learning. And if you'll pay attention, and we'll talk about these for a moment, then this is something that you can now use to change the course of your life. First, we came to a point where we were so dissatisfied. These are the three things for all of us. First, we came to a point where we were so dissatisfied that we were ready to change. For some, it may have been a simple fear of failure, I guess for many. A low grade on a midterm can do that so effectively. For others, it may have been a feeling of frustration that could come in a Spanish class where the text and the teacher flooded us with verbs and vocabulary and pronunciation. I'm particularly sensitive to this. There's a wonderful young man who's trying to teach me Spanish right now, and I'm talking to you about real experience for me. We felt overwhelmed. But whatever the trigger was, we came to a point just before the burst of learning where we felt, I will pay whatever price it takes. I want to learn. I'll make whatever changes it takes. I'll find help, and I'll take correction. The second thing that happened to each of us was that rather than feeling crushed by our inadequacies, we somehow felt hope that we could rise above them and that we could make the change. It may have come from a kindly teacher or a classmate who encouraged us. It may have been a letter from home from someone who wrote, I know you can do it. Whatever the source, something touched our hearts and made us believe, I know I can really do it. I can change. I can learn. The third thing that happened when that time of rapid learning occurred was that we went to work and kept working harder than we thought we could, long and hard. That happened to a son of mine at Ricks College. He had come here wondering from his high school experience whether he could even handle college. He met two other students here, both of them from South America. They shared the feeling that they had to do better, and somehow the faith that they could, and so they worked together, the three of them. At least as Matthew described it to me, it was late in the nights in the Romney building. I'm not sure which rooms they used. In fact, I'm not even sure I should tell that story. It probably broke some rules. I think the idea of students studying through the night in the Romney building is a bad idea, and I apologize that I mentioned it. There must have been some kindly custodian who ignored them and let them work. But I know they worked night after night, sometimes in the early morning, until the miracle finally arrived for each of them. The reason I have a little emotion is that same son is now at a graduate school in Boston, and he wrote and said he thought he'd flunk at the beginning They have that habit of trying to make you feel stupid, and they're really good at it. And rather than feeling badly, I felt wonderful. It's Rick's college again, and he'll do it because of what he learned here. And sure enough, he's working through the nights again, and now he's saying it's going to make it. We're going to do it. Now, for all of us, when that rapid learning occurs, there will be those three conditions in each of our lives. We become teachable, we get faith that we can learn, and we go to work. More than that, we keep working, even when it didn't seem to bear any fruit. The fruit doesn't come easily at first. It rarely does. We had to prove we would persevere through disappointment. But then the miracle came. A miracle is something that seems beyond our own powers and beyond our common experience. We were surprised at both how much we learned and how much we had changed. It was more than we gathered new information, more than that we learned the verbs and the vocabulary and the pronunciation. We were changed in at least two ways. First, if we were wise and saw the learning that came as a gift, we felt gratitude. And that made us want to share the gift. For some at Rick's College, that led to volunteering to be a tutor. One of my sons had a student tutor here who years later was still asking me where he was and how he was doing. For others of you, it may have been to study with a friend in the hope that they could receive the gift that had come to us. Another change was that we learned how to learn. And so it became easier to feel willing to change and to feel confidence that we could learn and to keep working even when the results were delayed. Now, that pattern of what produces rapid learning could occur anywhere. We didn't need to come to Rick's College to find it. But there is a special advantage in this unique place. The gospel of Jesus Christ illuminates everything we do here. And the gospel of Jesus Christ both teaches us why that process works anywhere and why it works more powerfully here. And from that understanding, we can make the process work for us wherever we go. When we talk about these conditions of rapid learning in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we use some different words. That first stage, the dissatisfaction that makes us teachable, is called a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It leads to a spirit of repentance and a determination to change. Although the Lord's and his prophets have described often that wonderful condition when we are ready to change. One of the most beautiful for me is in the Doctrine and Covenants, in the very first section, the one the Lord called his preface. You remember his words. Think of yourselves. I think of myself here. Always think of yourself when you hear these words. The weak things of the world shall come forth and break down the mighty and strong ones. That man should not counsel his fellow man, neither trust in the arm of flesh, but that every man might speak in the name of God the Lord, even the Savior of the world, that faith also might increase in the earth, that mine everlasting covenant might be established, that the fullness of my gospel might be proclaimed by the weak and the simple unto the ends of the world and before kings and rulers. Also in the Doctrine and Covenants, the 19th section, the 23rd verse, learn of me, and listen to my words. Walk in the weakness, in the meekness of my spirit, and ye shall have peace in me. Lasting humility, the necessary condition for continuous learning, comes from great faith in Jesus Christ and his atonement. We not only have the desire to change and to be changed, but that faith gives us hope of being sanctified. That is the conviction that we really can have the mighty change. You remember the description of the sons of Mosiah who knew they had to change and how that change came into their lives. It is the same for us. You remember these words from the 35th verse of the third chapter of Helaman. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility. and firmer and further, firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the filling their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God. In gospel language, we talk of the willingness to work hard as labor. The power to labor without ceasing stems from confidence that we will not fail. Persistent labor comes naturally from knowing that we are on the Lord's errand. Think of how long we could work and how much resistance and disappointment we could overcome when we believe these words. To prepare the weak for those things which are coming on the earth and for the Lord's errand in the day when the weak shall confound the wise and the little one become a strong nation, and two shall put their tens of thousands to flight. When you reflect on your experiences at Ricks College, you realize that the power of that faith in the plan of salvation has been at the heart of your rapid learning. The effect of the faith of your teachers and of the encouragement in your wards and stakes has been to humble you and prepare you to be taught like a little child. Your faith has grown that you can change and become more like the Savior through faith, repentance, and making and keeping sacred covenants. And your experiences here have taught you the joy of laboring with all your might and strength to do what the Lord would have you do. That has been reinforced by faithful teachers to whom I pay tribute and give thanks, by diligent leaders in your wards and stakes, and by being blessed to hear and heed the words of living prophets from this place. The Binions, President and Sister Binion and their family, have been great examples for you. You and they have sown, and you and they have reaped the wonderful fruit, which is more bounteous in this special place of learning. Think of what marvelous examples they have been. When they came here, they were already proven and successful leaders in other places. They had blessed a whole community, as well as a college, by their service. They could well have come here thinking they knew all there was to know about being the president and the first lady of a campus. But they were humble learners, and because of that, they learned and grew rapidly. Their faith in the Savior has been deepened by personal trials. They not only wanted to learn and grow, but they came to have even greater faith that as the Lord could do miracles in one part of their lives, He could do miracles in all. And they have labored as only those who know they are on the Lord's errand will labor. More than once I've tried to call President Binion in the evening, only to find that neither he nor his wife were available. They were here among you, trying to help you gain the gifts of learning that they have been given. I am blessed to have known this special place for many years. I can tell you that it has grown in its power to accelerate learning beyond anything I foresaw, much as I have loved this place and thought I knew its potential. You, the graduates, the faculty, and the Binions have not only been blessed by it, but you have changed it for the better. Because of what all of you have done, there is a greater spirit of submission to the teaching of truth. There is a greater faith among those who come here that there are, with the help of God, no limits to our growth. And I am convinced that there is even more persistent labor being performed because there is greater assurance that we are in the Lord's service when we work and study here. When you leave, you can now choose to create wherever you go a personal place such as this. You can take with you the childlike desire to be taught, to grow. You can take with you the faith that Jesus is the Christ and that the great plan of salvation is real. Because of that, you can have unfailing faith that with enduring effort you can grow, finally to become like our Heavenly Father. And you can take anywhere you go your habit of working with all your heart, mind, and strength, sometimes through the night. Because life itself can become the Lord's errand if we choose. What you have done while you are here is to strengthen what we have sometimes called the spirit of Ricks. It is the long tradition which you have enriched of yielding to God, believing that with Him all good things are possible, and giving all we have and are in His service. You will take this gift not just in this life. You will take this gift with you forever. The purpose of the plan of salvation is not only to take us to a wonderful place, but to set us on an endless path. You have been hastened along that path while you were here, and you have made it better for those who will follow you. The path will lead not only through more education for all and to productive employment in a changing world, but into the families you will build for eternity. The path of learning is part of eternity. This wonderful brochure, save it. If you try to remember someday, what did Brother Eyring talk about? He talked about a path of learning that you've been on, that you've made better for others, and that will go on through eternity. And this wonderful student-produced brochure is, to me, evidence again of what this place has become and some sense of what it will be even in the few years when I hope I get to come back again. The path of learning is part of eternity. You remember in the book of Moses, in the first chapter, in the 38th verse, which says, there is no end to his works, neither to his words. Brigham Young said it this way, all this and more that cannot enter into our hearts to conceive is promised to the faithful and are but so many stages in that ceaseless progression of eternal lives. My prayer is that all of us may reflect on the gift of learning which came to us while we were here. I call down a blessing upon you and upon me and my family, that throughout our days in mortality and forever, we will together treasure this gift and share it with others. I testify to you that I know that God the Father lives. We are His children. I know that He loves you. I know that if you will, like a child, submit to Him and have faith in Jesus Christ, whom I also know and testify to you that He lives, that because of His atonement, because of the restoration of the gospel, you can change. You can change beyond your fondest dreams and move towards the day that you may be reunited with a loving Father and a Savior who loves you and loves this place and watches over it, of which I testify as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.